The World Show with Nikki B.
Yes, and we are going to have more sounds to uplift and inspire, because with me right now is tonight's special guest. Welcome again and always to The World Show, Linda Sekakane.
This is Nikki B. It's always a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
I've been wanting to have you on The World Show, but we couldn't do it for a few weeks. I'm so sorry for your loss as well, because I know, that was why we had to cancel earlier a few weeks ago. But I'm so happy you made it today.
You know, I'm so glad that I'm here.
Yes. What a beautiful album, Isambulo.
Thank you.
Linda. You're going to help me choose the songs. I've already warned you, because each and every one of these songs I want to play. So we won't
I'll
have
try
time.
My best.
Yes. But Linda, it's been a while since you've been here. And this is your third album.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about the album. It's called Isambulo. When was it recorded and when was it released?
So Isambulo was constructed in 2020. You know, it stems from, you know, just the experiences that I came across during COVID. It was recorded in 2021 in Switzerland whilst I was on a residency in Basel, and it was released last year. I think it was released early this year.
Yes. And it's interesting for me because, I mean, your other albums were also live albums.
Yeah.
Yes. And this one?
So this one was a studio album.
Yes.
Yeah.
What did you go to Basel for? How long did you spend there?
So I was in Basel for a month and a week. And initially I had gone there to do a couple of gigs. But due to, you know, like COVID-related issues, most of the gigs were cancelled. And to me, this was like a sign that maybe I should focus on recording an album. So that's how I got to record this album.
And who were you recording with? I mean, are they all Swiss musicians? Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. So, like, the core band was made up of Swiss musicians. Luca Fries on piano, Jonas Ruther on drums, Fabian Iannone on bass, a guest singer from Austria, Anna Widauer, and then I took the project back to South Africa where I added Elhaji Ngarindong on percussion and another singer by the name of Paras on vocals, and I also had Big Brother Nduduzo Makatini to co-produce the album.
Yes, amazing. So did this kind of happen organically? I mean, the way you're telling me, it wasn't like I set out, this is the album, these are the musicians. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so it happened organically, but of course in 2020 I was just thinking about this notion of Isambulo, just thinking about, you know, finding ways of, you know, finding, like getting revelation through music. So that's where the whole project stems from. But going to Switzerland, I was just going there to present, you know, the work through a series of concerts, of which got cancelled. And then I just thought that maybe this is an opportunity for me to record an album.
So these artists that you recorded with in Switzerland, had you known them before or did you meet them as a result of the residency?
Well, some of them I had met before through, you know, through other configurations. For instance, Anna Widauer and Fabian Iannone are part of Makatini's Inner Dimensions, and in 2018 we were touring with the group, and that's how I got to meet them. But going to Switzerland, I had known other people because, you know, this South African-Swiss collaboration has been going on for so many years.
Yes.
So you get to see some people through other projects, you know.
Yes, and I see, in fact, you've even also included Matthias Spillmann on one of the tracks.
Yes.
And he worked recently with Mbuso Khoza.
Yes.
So, you know, that just shows you how this... There is a family across the seas.
There's a family, and you know, with Matthias it's very special because he was one of the first guys that brought a band to Switzerland, like back in 2000 and like early 2000s, you know. And the person that actually connected me to Matthias was Makatini. Was like, man, you need to check him out. And of course, he came in studio like a master, and you know, really.
Yes. Beautiful. There's so much more I want to ask you, but I think for now let's hear a song. And this one, I played Actually, I've played it a couple of times on the World Show, but I'll never forget the first time I played it. People were like, oh, wow. Wow. This one is Inner Freedom Revisited. Tell me about this track.
So this track features on my debut album, Two Sides, One Mirror. But somehow when I was, you know, preparing for the session in Switzerland, it just re-emerged in my spirit. And this time around, I'm just thinking about notions of freedom and, you know, trying to investigate like three dimensions of freedom, which are the spiritual, the psychological, and the physical.
Yes, beautiful. Love it to bits. Let's hear the track. Linda Sikakane with me in the studio. The album is Isambulo. This one, Inner Freedom Revisited. Yes, what a track. Kaya 959, and that is Inner Freedom Revisited. He's with us now. He's Linda Sikakane. The album is Isambulo. Yes. Now, Linda, you came from KZN.
Yes.
And I think, if I remember even talking to you about it before, you've always kind of acknowledged the roots from which you came.
Yes.
What do you think, how would you explain those roots from a musical perspective? What is it, do you think, comes to you from that region?
I guess everything, you know, everything that I know comes from that region. And, you know, as I grow, I actually appreciate it more, just realizing how, you know, it just gives me a sense of freedom, you know, just to project from home. And I'm, you know, I'm trying that so much, and I'm really going back and studying, you know, myself through home. And, you know, if you listen to this song, you can tell that the bass line is highly inspired by the Maskandi bass line.
Yes.
So, you know, lately I've been just trying to study myself and study back home and try by all means to project from home.
And I suppose it's a process, because I'm sure some of it is inherent in you. And it's a process of saying, what is it that I'm doing, I'm drawing from that region?
Well, I guess it has to do with just a deeper level of consciousness, you know, because as human beings, we get exposed to other worlds. You know, I've been in an institution where, you know, like the teaching systems are different. But, you know, in a process of trying to find myself, I'm constantly, you know, like getting ways to sort of like invite, you know, what I've been taught growing up at home, and just, you know, having that as part of my package in my journey.
Yes. Mm. And out of interest, what were you listening to when you grew up? What was the music that you were hearing at home or in your community?
Well, you know, because I grew up in Umlazi Township, so I was exposed to a lot of musics. But, you know, since my family comes from Gwanongoma, and we would go and visit my grandmother and, you know, other relatives, you know, during holidays, then I would be exposed to like traditional music, you know, music that was used in events, weddings, you know, and, you know, so many sorts of events. And my family was a very musical family, because we would gather just, you know, around the fire and start, you know, break into songs.
Yes.
So somehow that, you know, it comes back to me strongly now that I'm conscious about, you know, myself and where I come from.
Yes.
So like Zulu traditional music is very like embedded in my spirit.
And I suppose also that sense of ceremony as well.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
from what you're explaining to me.
Yes.
Yes. And the saxophone. Yeah. When did that come into your life?
So the saxophone came into my life in 2008. You know, in 2003 I joined Siyakhula Music Center. But before that, I had been studying music at Clarewood Boys Primary School, you know, under the tutelage of Mrs. V. Rajmani, who was my first music teacher. And 2003, I got to Siyakhula Music Center under the tutelage of the late Dr. Brian Tusi.
Yes.
And I was playing clarinet at that point, around 2005. But in 2008, because I decided that I'd like to pursue music at varsity, and I was advised that for me to be in a jazz program, it's safer to have the saxophone as well as my second instrument. which became my first, you know.
Yes.
But there was this young saxophone player by the name of Philani Biyela who really, you know, like he blew a really amazing solo on Babu Tshona Skwangwa's classic. You know, the solo on the record is played by Ubabu Mselego on alto saxophone, and Philani just played that solo on Flowers of the Nation.
Yes.
He played the exact solo, and I was really, you know, inspired by that. And I was like, I need to play the saxophone like this guy, you know.
Yes. Mm. Well, you know, one thing about your saxophone playing that always strikes me, and I'm not really sure how I'm going to articulate this, but they're very, you know, the saxophone is a very, for me, I don't know if you agree, but it's quite a cheeky instrument. And it's also like wants to be in the front, and it wants to say, hello, I'm here, the sax is here.
Yes.
Which is something that we love about the sax, and I think it's something that makes the sax sound, it kind of, it makes it accessible to everyone.
Mm.
That's the charm of the sax.
Mm.
But what I love about your style of playing the sax and appreciate it is that you take it into other realms.
Mm.
And for me, there's few saxophonists in the world that have achieved that. And you're definitely one of them. And that's what I'm always, I mean, as I say, I love, you know, the front, the saxophone in the front that anyone can relate to and gets anyone going.
Yeah.
But, you know, I start to think of people like, totally different from you, but people like Jan Gabarek, who take it into a realm that you think, wow, I've never heard it in this realm.
Mm, mm.
So was that kind of also, did that also happen organically? Or was that like, how far can I push this instrument?
Well, I guess location plays a big role. The fact that one is exposed to, you know, mountains, you know, waters and just the landscapes, they play a big role in how we sound. And that's very evident in our saxophone sound in South Africa. You know, the likes of Babu Peg Mselego, of course,
yes,
on saxophone. The likes of Babu Winston Mankunku, you know, Babu Chuk Makasi, Babu Cherigunen in KZN. You can just tell that there's this South African saxophone sound. So growing up, I've been trying to search for that. But also, you know, one thing that has been fascinating to me is how do I make this instrument speak my language?
Yes.
And, you know, I'm always in a process of trying to find, you know, that connection.
Yes.
You know,
and I suppose also because in a contemporary sense as well.
Yeah.
Because you're working with it now. I mean,
yeah.
To honor those who came before, but also where does it fit, I suppose, in today's world? You know, those are the things, I suppose, you kind of work with.
Yes, yes. I guess, you know, for every improviser, you know, we try to, you know, learn from the past, but as well we get to a state of surrender. And I guess that's a part where, you know, we get exposed to even sounds that we do not know. So in the process of seeking, one is just, you know, in this state of surrender. And I guess somehow, you know, that gives like a sort of shape to the sound.
Yes.
Mm.
I suppose it's more and more what you're making me think about is that sense of channeling, rather.
Yeah.
So it's more about getting out of one's way,
yeah,
as an artist.
Yeah, because, you know, I get to the point of even forgetting that I'm a saxophone player or I'm playing a saxophone, because I think the work is deeper than just playing this instrument.
Yes, absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. There's much more I want to ask you about that as well. But while we're on this particular, because we started this chat, this particular segment, honoring Brian, the late Brian Toosey, what did he teach you as a youngster?
Well, you know, Babu Brian Toosey was a father, you know, because I was very young when I was at Siyakhula Music Center. And, you know, he came to my home and sat down with my father and just, you know, let them know that I'm in safe hands. And he's been, you know, he created so many opportunities for us in Umlazi Township. And for me, like personally, because I got to play in his band, and my first experience in studio, my first experience on a flight, my first experience of traveling abroad was through him. So he really, you know, really, you know, created so many opportunities for us. So he was a great father of the community.
Because he actually took the students, I think, many times, a few times, abroad.
Yeah.
And I mean, that in itself must have been a lesson in performance, not just in creation and playing,
but
in performance.
In performance,
yes. Beautiful. Yes. Let's hear another track. This one, I've also played before on the World Show. I'm so proud. This one is Unongoma, featuring Paras. Tell me about this. So, you touched on Paras earlier.
Yeah. Mm. So Paras is a very close friend of mine. We met at Varsity at UKZN. And last night, I had a performance at Untitled Basement. And, you know, he's in Joburg. He was part of the performance. And, you know, when I was thinking about this song, I just thought that his voice would fit, you know, thinking about also his background, because he comes from Ulundi and I come from Kwanongoma. And, you know, that's like a couple of kilometers, like, apart. But Unongoma is a dedication to my place of origin, Kwanongoma. And also the fact that this word comes from the word Ngoma, which means the mother of music. I just felt that it's important to get this feminine energy in the album, or just in, you know, in the music. It's very important, I think, because that's where we all come from. So Unongoma just speaks about this place of origin and this feminine energy as well.
Thank you so much. Can I dedicate this one to Women's Day that's coming up on Tuesday this week?
Yes.
For all the beautiful women out there. The sense of mother, the source of all.
Yeah.
Linda Sikakane with us on The World Show. You've got to get his new album. It's an absolute gem. It's called Isambulo. And yeah, coming up after this, Unongoma featuring Paras. Kaya 959, wow. Yes, on the street, on the air, and of course in our hearts, souls, and our spirits. That one, Unongoma. And I can see, Linda, why you chose Paras, because especially with a song that's dedicated to your area, to your region, you know, to really, like, take us.
Yes.
But now, the theme of the overall album, let's talk a little bit about that, Isambulo.
Yeah.
And you talk about it as, oh gosh, I've just forgotten the translation.
Revelation.
As revelation.
Yes.
What were those revelations?
You know, so for me, like, just in the height of the pandemic, you know, everyone was, you know, experiencing so much uncertainty. And my biggest question was that how do we try and find revelation through music in that process? I just felt the need of, you know, contributing, you know, into trying to make this world a better place, because people were going through a lot and we experienced so much death, you know, and we were losing, like, elderly people, which was very problematic, you know, just thinking about how, you know, we are losing out on important information from these masters. And I just thought that, well, the world is really in need of, you know, healing sounds.
Yes.
And I just chose to, you know, use music as a vehicle to try and just get through this whole period.
Yes.
You know.
And I think we lost, I think you're right in that. There was so, we've been through so much loss generally.
Yes.
Not just old people, but also unexpected losses in the younger generations.
Yes, yes.
And I suppose in a way that kind of, and maybe what you're saying is also reminding us to honor each other.
Yes, yes.
In life.
Yeah, yeah. I guess it exposed a lot of things, and just the fact that, you know, tomorrow is not guaranteed. So the only opportunity that you get, you need to really go even deeper. And I just thought that, you know, music was quite essential at that time. It's forever essential, of course, but just people were, you know, were trying to find some light, you know, in this whole process.
And I'm sure as a musician as well, what she's telling me is this is a kind of an introspective experience that led to this creation.
Yes.
But as an artist, it must, I think for all artists, but I'm asking from your perspective, that sense of having all this creativity, wanting to work, but also being cut off from audience.
Yeah.
Being cut off from connection, even with each other as musicians. You need to work together.
Yes, yes. Well, it was a huge shift in the industry.
Yes.
And, one thing that I was thinking about is that how do we just, get into the music,
Yes.
Just doing it anyway. And also, I just saw it as an opportunity to sort of like ask ourselves what is our role in society as musicians. And it was an opportunity even for us to create other ways of, putting this music out.
What do you think your role is as a musician in society?
Well, I think I try by all means to project healing vibrations. And I my music is a reflection of myself and the current times. So I just try by all means to be in a very purified state so that whatever message that is being channeled is easily channeled through me.
In a way, it's a sense of, I suppose, a sense of meditation, a sense of prayer even.
Yes. Yes, yes.
It makes me think, a couple of weeks ago I had these amazing vendor women who were playing indigenous instruments here. But it also led me on the path, and I was researching because I remembered, like, in vendor there's this, the consciousness is that artists are put kind of on an equal plane as traditional healers.
Yeah.
And I that's what I love about Venda, actually, because that is recognized.
Yeah.
The artists are, and for me, exploring, having researched music and the history of music, if I look at it in times gone by, that was, even if you look at the griot tradition in West Africa, where the griots are very specifically the music makers, historically, but they're also the messengers, and they're the ones who keep communities connected, and who share the information, if you like, through music. So I suppose it's actually in your work, in a way, giving credit to that mindset.
Yes, that I think that mindset is very important, because I guess through the shifts in the world, of course, the West, trying to impose their sort of ideas, somehow music or artistry has become a backdrop. But, it has never been like that, pre-colonial times. Like, I know even from where I come from, KwaZulu-Natal, like, people don't really need entertainment, but a community is able to break into song. A community is able to share ideas through artistry, through music.
Yes.
So it has never been like a backdrop or just a phenomena for entertainment,
It's an integral part of life.
Yes, yes.
Yes. Beautiful. Now, this next track, and I think this, even in relation to what we're speaking about, this track is relevant.
Yes.
This one is called, I've been battling. Linda's laughing at me because I've been battling with the pronunciation. Goguira. Did I say it right?
Goguaida.
Goguaida.
Yes.
Goguaida. Yes. Tell me about this track and the meaning of Goguaida.
Okay, so this is a dedication to my paternal grandmother, So Goguaida. Well, her name in English is pronounced as Ida, but at home it was always pronounced as Ida. So Gogo, the Gog is for Gogo, and then, Ida is for, her
for
name.
For her, yes.
Yeah, for her. So I remember when she passed away, I think like 8 years ago, just in that moment, I had a dream, a song. I received a song through a dream, but when I woke up, I could not remember the song, and I tried so hard to try and remember the song, but I couldn't. And then like 5 or 6 years later, this song emerged in my spirit, but of course a different song. And I was thinking about my grandmother, and I just thought that, okay, maybe this is my, you know, prayer to her. This is my dedication to her.
And I suppose in some ways your connection to her, even though she may be gone, it's that connection.
Yeah, yeah.
Beautiful. Linda Sekakane on The World Show. You've got to get a copy of the album. Absolutely beautiful. It is, of course, a profound album. Istanbul. Kaya 959. Absolutely beautiful. Linda Sekakane in the studio with me. And Linda, I've got to mention some of these messages on Facebook. Tabiso says, wow, absolutely awesome. Daniel, just so excited you're coming. And Sambulo just wrote in. He says, I'm busy listening and loving this track. It reminds me of old Zulu hymns fused with a bit of Mbaqanga and delivered well as part of the jazz ensemble. Great stuff. So you see, people are getting it. There we go. I think that's what an artist always wants, isn't it?
Yes.
That you leave it open. People must receive things as they will.
Yeah, they must find their own meanings.
Find their own meaning, exactly.
Yeah.
But isn't it nice when they actually picked up exactly what we were talking about?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then a couple more. Stuku Juku, talking about Inner Freedom, says, wow, what a good track. So I'm thinking if Linda works with Induduzo Makatini, and of course, the man himself, it's co-produced by him.
Yes.
And
yes,
he's featured, of course.
Yes.
What has Induduzo been to you? I know you and him have been so close for so long.
Makatini is many things to me. You know, he's a big brother, he's a very close friend, he's a mentor, he's a teacher. And, you know, I've been under his wings for like 10 years now. When I moved up to Joburg, he invited me to, you know, to be a part of a lot of things that he's been doing around the city. And I also got to play on his second album, which was my first studio experience in Johannesburg, you know, Mother Tongue. And, you know, I got to play in his band, and he, like, introduced me to the scene in Johannesburg and also encouraged me to record my debut album in 2017, of which he produced, you know, he's produced three of my albums, and he's very central in my journey. You know, he's always there for me, he's always looking out for me, and, you know, it's been such a great pleasure just learning from him.
And you've also been performing with him as part of his brand across the world.
Yes, yes. I've been fortunate enough to be in three of his albums. And, you know, the latest, In the Spirit of Ndu with Blue Note Record. And just the experience in that, you know, recording session was so special, because it didn't feel like a, you know, jazz recording session, but it just felt like an important session for us to really dig into ourselves and really, you know, understand our role as sound magicians. So Makatini has been helping people to find themselves, and just being around him has made me very, you know, comfortable with just myself, and he has helped me, like, sort of like cultivate a sound that is Linda Sekakane. Of course, it's a long process, it takes a lot of years, but it's been, like, you know, the pillar, you know, in the journey.
And how important it is for someone to recognize in another what is you and what role can I play to enhance that which is you, not to impose that which is me onto you.
And
I think, but also I pick up from what you're speaking about, from that sense of reverence, if you like, that you share.
Yeah.
That this is powerful work going on as collectively, if I can put it that way.
Yes, yes.
And it's work we need so much in the world today.
Well, I guess it's important to be a part of a community. And, you know, through learning from Makatini, somehow I've been able to learn from the likes of Master Pegim Selegu, Master Zimnawane, you know, and those were Makatini's teachers, of which I could not meet in person. But through him, I'm able to tap into that space as well. So I think yes. This master-disciple relationship is very important.
Yes.
Yeah.
And as I say, in the true sense, a disciple actually lives and works with the master.
Yes.
And that's yes. an amazing blessing,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But again, Linda, don't undercredit yourself within this role. You know, you're giving all the credit to Induduza and those again.
Well, I just hope that 50 years from now, someone will be giving credit to Skakane. You know,
yes.
I'm trying to work in such a way that whatever I'm doing now, someone can benefit 50 years later.
Yes, absolutely. And you are. I must say one more message that I've got to read out, and I know there's many here. You'll see them afterwards. But this one comes from a sister in radio. She is May Kasim, and of course, she has two radio shows. On Radio Liban, all the way in Lebanon, in Beirut. And she was listening to Unongoma and said, wow, this track is mesmerizing. I'm listening now. So I know you know May because I introduced your music to her. I said, you've got to listen to Linda Sikakane. So I'm so happy she's listening to your new album with us.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah. Linda, what's next? What are you busy with now? Yes, what's next?
You know, I've been thinking about home, you know. I'm trying to plan around launching the album in KZN. I mean, there's nothing concrete yet, but it's just in my spirit. So
yes.
I guess if everyone that is listening can also, like, channel the same energy, this is going to happen. Because I haven't, you know, the last time I played in KZN was in 2016.
Wow.
Yeah, it was in 2016.
Definitely time.
Yeah, so I would like to, you know, to take this music back home. But other than that, you know, I'm just excited to see where the music can take me, and I'm just meditating on just the journey, and I'm also currently studying. I'm doing my last year of my master's at the Norwegian Academy of Music. So I'm traveling, you know, between Johannesburg and Norway.
Yes.
But also, you know. Well, I share all my plans on social media. So as soon as I have like things set up, I'll definitely share all of that. So people should keep their ears on the ground.
And also head to Linda's website. He's got a website, Linda Sekakane. Is it
.com?
.com. Yes. Linda, we've got time for one more track. And yes. This one I'm going to play is, I couldn't choose, but I think we're going to do Ikhandlela. Yes. Tell me about this one.
So Ikhandlela, translated into English, means the candle. And just the symbolism of the candle when we search for light and when we try to connect with other worlds. So I was just thinking about that.
Beautiful way to end the world show. Lighting a candle.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Linda. Thank you for your magic, your music, your beautiful healing energy.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Sis Nikki P, and congratulations for, you know, such a great milestone. You know, you've been here for 25 years and you've been, you know, allowing us to be in this space, you know, through many generations, and we are so thankful for this opportunity. So much love to you, and you know, we love you so much.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Couldn't do it and always do it for the listeners and, of course, the music makers. Thank you, Linda. Whatever else you do this week, make sure that you keep shining. And don't forget, you mustn't go anywhere, because George Manyosi is up next with Jazzed Up. And he always has a beautiful, beautiful selection of music. So stay right where you are. From me to you, have a great one. Here is Ikhandlela of Linda Sikakane's Isambulo. Let me tell you, you want the entire album. It's a gem.
Live. 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 Live.
Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za. The World Show with Nikki B. Every Sunday from 6 to 9 p.m. on Kaya 959.